Hello and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon and we are on day three of our adventure article. What have we been talking about, Pam, for the past few days?
We're talking about the Himalayas and taking a trip and experiencing the beauty and the grandeur and the majesty of these wonderful mountains.
And it definitely is an adventure, Carolyn, isn't it?
Yes, this is not an easy hike. These are very difficult climbs that you need specialized equipment like ice picks and joomers to get through.
Yes, and there are lots of words. We've discussed many different words over the past couple of days. And if you want to review those even further, we do have some topic talks videos for you. As you know, the QR codes are there. Here in our article, and also you can go to our website at studioclassroom.com and click on the advanced section, and you can watch the videos there as well. And there's some nice features there, and of course we have our Get It Right game show, and sometimes you'll see Carolyn there on our
yes.
show. And that is very helpful when it comes to reviewing the vocabulary, especially the Get It Right feature. So we invite you to check those out. But before we get into day three of our article here, let's recap a bit the first 2 days. And I want to ask our panelists just your overall thoughts, some important points that you want to remind our listeners of. Pam, what's a thought that you have?
Well, just a quick review. This is a lesson written by Stacia Glenn. She's talking about a trip that she personally went on. She mm-hmm. went with a team. And yesterday we spent some time talking about the importance of teamwork. There are many things that you can do alone in life, but when we work with other people, we bond, we form stronger relationships, and especially on the job. If you enjoy the people you work with, it often makes the job go better.
That's right. Those are good points and good reminders. Carolyn, how about you?
Well, just the uniqueness of this experience in the Himalayas. It's unlike any other place on Earth, really, which is why it's such a popular destination for so many people, it seems, because she does talk about the trekking traffic and the people that are resting on the lines and they need to unclip to go around them. So it sounds like it is a very popular destination for many, many people. But another good reminder is that this area has experienced a lot of devastation this year, and so the trails are not open at the moment.
Yes, we hope that they will open up again sometime in the near future mm-hmm. so people can enjoy more adventures here in the Himalayas. And we do have at the end of page 39, we have a little part there, since we're talking about the devastation there. It's called Devastation Strikes Region. Pam, would you mind reading that?
No. It's April 25th. On April 25th this year, a terrible tragedy shook the country of Nepal with a powerful 7.8 earthquake that devastated not only the mountain trails, but took the lives of thousands of people. The capital city of Kathmandu and the surrounding area will never be the same.
So this is very tragic, and of course, this is an opportunity for us to reach out and help, and you can donate money. You can also give your thoughts and prayers to the people there who were affected there in this region. And it wasn't, of course, only in Nepal. I believe some people were affected in China and also India, right? And so there are some other countries involved as well. And so this area has seen, experienced tragedy, but we know that that people will continue to work through that and rebuild and move on, especially as many people across the world help them, and we have the opportunity to do that. And we are talking today about people more. We've been talking about the people climbing the mountains and so forth, but we're going to focus on the people here in Nepal and how they are very kind and warm-hearted. Let's find out about that in our first reading for today on page 38.
Warm-hearted people. Simplicity. Gratitude. In the aftermath of the climbs, those things seemed more prevalent than ever. I've never climbed a mountain without being changed. The experience, the challenge, changes you and your perspective in subtle, lasting ways. But on this trip, among the world's tallest mountains, I was most changed by the people who called them home. Life in the high hills comes with hardships. More than one-third of the population lives on less than 50 cents per day. Children trek over treacherous terrain to attend school or live away from their families for a chance to be educated. Most scratch out a living on a small farm or run a business for the tourists who trek past each year. But they are resilient, warm-hearted, and happy. They want to serve. They want to help. They want to know you.
Okay, first want to talk about that word warm-hearted. What does that mean, Pam?
Warm-hearted. We learned previously that warm, when people are warm, it doesn't mean that they are hot. You know, that their temperature is hot. This means they're kind and they're friendly.
That's right. And then we have two one-word sentences, Carolyn.
Yeah, so this is kind of a stylistic choice that the writer has used for emphasis. If you take just one word and put a period after it, then it makes the reader pause and think about that word a little bit more before they move on. So we read simplicity, gratitude. So really emphasizing those two aspects of this trip.
Okay, and of course they're talking about the people and what they experienced. Okay, and so in the aftermath of the climbs, meaning when they finished the climbs, these things seemed more prevalent than ever, Pam.
That's right. They were more common than ever. And I think our writer is telling us in the aftermath or afterwards, these are the things that came to her mind, simplicity and gratitude.
She's kind of taking an inventory, right, of what happened. And sometimes when we experience things, we might just move on and we don't learn as much. But it's good to sit back and think, reflect, and maybe even keep a journal, especially on a trip like this, right? You can learn a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think oftentimes we take pictures, maybe we send an email here or there, but we don't really take time to think about the meaning of the experience we've just had. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really wonderful that the author has taken time to reflect rather than just write about maybe the snow that she saw or how difficult it was to climb the mountain, but just the interactions that she was able to experience with the people there.
Yeah, to dig deeper and pull out something that's really meaningful for life, right? And she goes on, she says, I've never climbed a mountain without being changed. I really like that sentence. It's short to the point, but it's powerful because she's telling us every time she's climbed, she's been changed in some way, and that's an encouragement for us to go on some challenges, or to go on some adventures, rather, and to be challenged. And so the experience, the challenge, it changes you. And what else? She talks about some other things as well.
Right. She said it also changes your perspective in subtle or not obvious lasting ways. And I think we've said often on Advanced Radio, if you travel, if you take yourself outside your own country, you will be changed. You will see things in a new perspective, a different way, through new eyes.
Yes, it's important to have, you know, different perspectives. And sometimes when we travel, we will have a new perspective on things, which is important.
And it's not always immediate. Sometimes it is very subtle, and it's not until much later on that you realize what an effect it has had on your life and just how much it has changed the way you see things.
Okay, and she says, on this trip among the world's tallest mountains, she was most changed by the people who called them home. So it wasn't the scenery that changed her so much, it was the people. And this makes a lot of sense. People can have a huge effect on us, right?
That's exactly right. And we've talked a little bit about these Sherpas already. They help them literally every step of the way. They are the professionals. When the visitors arrive and they are ready to go climb these mountains, the Sherpas are the ones with the knowledge. But not only that, we go on to find out they're not just very professional and businesslike. They are warm, caring, and concerned about the people they are responsible for.
But it's not easy living in this region here in the Himalayas. We see that life in the high hills comes with hardships or challenges, and we learn about some of those challenges.
Yes, this is not a very rich area. We learn that more than one-third of the population lives on less than 50 cents per day. And that's hard for many of us to imagine, to only have 50 cents that we can use each day. But that is what life is like for the people here.
Yes, and you can almost read right past that as you're reading through all of this, but that's not a lot of money.
No, it's very, very little. And what I learned in my research, Brandon, is that it's a very, very dangerous job, but many of them do it because of the money they can make that helps them support their large families at home. For the very best Sherpas who are willing to climb all the way to the top, they can make upward to $8,000 a year. That's a lot of money in that part of the world.
Wow. But that's not a lot of money. But so you see how, you know, people there have a different lifestyle and have different challenges than maybe many of us. And so we see next that the children, they trek over treacherous terrain to attend school. And so they're using that word trek again here, probably because they've been talking about climbing and so forth, and maybe they have to kind of climb as well. And we see the word treacherous, Carolyn.
Yeah, so if something is treacherous, that means it's very dangerous. So these children are not just walking down the street to school. They're having to go across very dangerous areas, dangerous terrain, in order to get to their school because there aren't very many schools in the area.
That's right. And some of them have to live away from their families for a chance to be educated. And so that disrupts the home and it causes other issues, doesn't it, Pam?
Right, that's right. And one of the reasons is because, again, the Sherpa profession is sometimes passed down from generation to generation, but because it is so dangerous, many parents don't want their kids to do it. So they make the sacrifice of sending the child away from home in order to get an education so that they can do something different.
So there are lots of sacrifices involved. And we see that most scratch out a living on a small farm, or they run a business. If you scratch out something, that means you just barely get by, right? And so it's not easy. And so they try to have a business and so forth, but they don't make a lot of money. And they really are focused on the tourists, aren't they, Pam?
That's right. That is their livelihood. That's what helps them support themselves, the tourists who come in every year.
All right. But they are what, Carolyn?
Well, they are resilient, warm-hearted, and happy. So despite these difficult conditions that they live in, they are resilient, so they're able to work through them. They don't give up. And they're warm-hearted and happy, so they're very friendly. They don't feel any sort of negative emotions toward the tourists or toward their lifestyle. And they just enjoy life. They're happy.
Isn't that amazing?
That is.
They don't have a lot of money, but they're very happy. And this is many times the case. Not always. You know, I had a friend in college who went to Africa to a poor area, and he said that they were some of the happiest people he had ever met in his life. And I think that is a good reminder that it's not about money, and it's not even about what we think of as success that necessarily brings happiness. And we have mentioned that before, that success doesn't always bring happiness. And so we see here that these people, they're very kind. They could be focused on what they don't have, but they're not. And sometimes, you know, people, they grew up there, so that's what they know. And so to them, they're just happy and content, and they're resilient. That's very important, to be strong. And through this earthquake that many people have experienced, they will need resilience,
won't
they?
That's right, Brandon, because if you are resilient, you are able to bounce back. And we know in that part of the world, they faced many tragedies, many disasters, but these people seem to bounce back. They come back from it.
Yes. All right. So they are resilient, warm-hearted, and happy, but they also want to serve, right? And they want to help, and they want to know you, Carolyn.
Yeah, so I think this goes along with their warm-heartedness, that they're so willing to serve people that are visiting the area, to make sure that, you're doing okay. Mm-hmm. They want to help you. They want to be there if you need help. And they want to know about you. They are very curious to know what your life is like and to know personal information about you that mm-hmm. maybe you wouldn't expect a total stranger at this resort town that you're visiting to ask you about.
And I'm sure it makes people feel right at home, the visitors. They feel mm-hmm. that these people care. And it's good because you are doing something that's dangerous. And it's nice to know that these people are there to help you out, right? Well, we have a bit more to learn, so let's have our last reading for this article. We are moving on to page 39, and we'll have that reading right now.
Porters carry hundreds of pounds strapped to their back as they walk up grueling hills. But they are listening to music and laughing. Shop owners ask about visitors' families and want to see pictures if you have children. Guides won't eat until they have served your food and cleaned up the dishes, and they will sleep on uncomfortable benches while their clients snooze in private rooms. When I fell ill on the last day of the trip and struggled on the walk back, Nima stayed right behind me and insisted on carrying my pack. At Labouche Base Camp, our guides immediately went to help an arriving group set up their tents without a word. Those genuinely nice gestures from genuinely nice people stuck with our group far more than climbing success or summit views. The meaning was in the moments where we grew from the love and compassion rained on us. It was those simple moments that already have us planning our return trip.
Well, it's not easy being a porter. They have to carry hundreds of pounds strapped to their backs. And so they need to be strong, don't they, Carolyn?
Yes, they do. But this doesn't seem to be a problem for them because we learned that while they do this walking up grueling hills, they're listening to music and they're laughing.
Wow, that's amazing. And we can learn from that alone, right?
That's exactly right. I can think of some of the minor things that I face sometimes that cause me to complain.
Mm.
And yet they just seem to have such a great attitude about life there. The word grueling, this adjective, it just means something that's really difficult and it requires lots of effort.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so they're happy. They're doing difficult work, but they're happy, so that's good. And then we see that shop owners, they ask about visitors' families, and they want to see pictures. Maybe I can see people taking out their phones and showing pictures of their kids and so forth. And so the shop owners are interested in the lives of the visitors, Carolyn.
Yeah, so they're very curious, and I think they're very nice people, and they want to know, oh, do you have a family? Do you have children? Oh, can I see what they look like? This is so exciting to get to meet you and to learn about you and your family.
And I'm sure they get to meet all kinds of people, and so that's interesting for them. You know, they can learn about different ways of life maybe a bit as different people come from various countries.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, guides, they won't actually eat until they've served you, which is very thoughtful.
It's very thoughtful. I think it would be embarrassing for some of us, though. You know, as you climb together and you're becoming friends together, then you think about sharing everything together instead of someone waiting on you or serving you. But they very much put their climbers, their guests first, and they wait until they have served them.
That's right. So they're working, they're cleaning up the dishes and everything, and then they will eat. And then they will sleep on uncomfortable benches while the guests snooze in private rooms.
Yeah, so the guests, the climbers, get to sleep in their own rooms while their Sherpas or their guides are sleeping on uncomfortable benches. So they really make a lot of sacrifices to make sure that the people visiting the area are comfortable and well taken care of.
Yes, and that word snooze is just another word for sleep. It's an informal way of talking about someone sleeping. And then we see that the author, the writer of this article, she says she fell ill. What does that mean? How do you, did she fall? And then she didn't go well? What does that mean?
It just means that she became sick. We do use that term, though, Brandon. She fell ill. She became sick, or she became ill. And we see that her Sherpa, Nima, went out of his way. He went the extra mile, put forth extra effort to stay behind and help her.
That's right. He insisted on carrying her pack. And so they're really watching out for the guests and making sure that they're comfortable and that they can help out in any way. They really have a servant's heart, I would say. Okay, well, it says, at Le Bushi base camp, our guides immediately went to help an arriving group set up their tents without a word. No one had to ask them, Caroline. They just saw a need and they went to help.
Right. They want to make sure that it's done correctly, and they want to make sure that the new guests who have just arrived also feel welcome and comfortable, just as the ones that are preparing to leave have also felt welcome and comfortable and have been well taken care of.
And it's encouraging because it is not easy doing this climb, right? And mm-hmm. so you need all the help you can get.
That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Well, as we move on, it says those genuinely nice gestures from genuinely nice people stuck with our group far more than climbing success or summit views. I really like this part of the article because you have to reflect on what's really important, right? And we see here that people are important.
That's right. So a lot of times we think about our experience in terms of the pictures we take, our experience in terms of the things that we see or what we eat, but really the interactions with the people mm-hmm. around us can be the most valuable and the most rewarding.
Yes, relationships are important. So listeners, I encourage you to continue to form strong relationships and friendships with people because we can learn a lot from people, but they can really invest in us a lot, and we can invest in them, and we learn from each other, and we can really help each other out a lot. And so relationships are very important. And so that's what she's focusing on here, the fact that she has learned a lot from people. And I believe Pam mentioned this before, when you travel to different places, you have new experiences, and it opens you up to new things, including different people and their perspectives. And you can learn from that and take that in to be part of your perspective on life, right? Carolyn or Pam, have you had one such experience? You've traveled to maybe different parts of the world, or at least you've lived in different parts of the world. Have you had this experience?
Well, I think you just have to remember as you travel, be open-minded. Don't go in thinking everything we do in my country is right, everything they do here is wrong. Just go. You're going to learn more, and you will benefit more if you go with an open mind. Mm. Why visit a culture if you're not ready to learn something new?
Right? That's a great reminder. And Carolyn?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that something to really keep in mind is to not take things for granted when you travel, that the kindness of people here that we read about in the article is not something you experience everywhere in the world. And so when you meet people who are genuinely interested in knowing more about you, genuinely interested in helping you, and they're genuinely nice, we see that word repeated
yes.
over in this sentence, that you should really appreciate that and
yes.
maybe try to learn more about them as well, so that you can share what you learn about them with people when you get back home, and that it can become just a really fond memory.
That's right.
And I would say that for those of us who live in Asia, we're very fortunate because the people here are super friendly,
yes.
very friendly, very warm-hearted. We can use that word.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do take an interest mm-hmm. in you and want to get to know more about you.
Yes, that is true. People in Asia are very caring, and they especially watch out for guests
mm-hmm.
and foreigners especially. And so that is a huge blessing since I'm a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we continue on. Here it says the meaning was in the moments where we grew from the love and compassion rained on us. I like that phrase, rained on us.
Rained. If you think of rain, you're going to think of the noun, usually, if you go outside and it's
yeah.
raining. But this rained down, it just kind of poured down on them.
The compassion and the love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all need that, don't
mm-hmm.
we? And then how does she end here, Carolyn?
Well, she writes, it was those simple moments that already have us planning our return trip. So
yeah.
she's ready to go back.
Yeah, and so even from a business perspective, you know, people are nice and it brings people back. Maybe that's not their motive or sole motive, but when you have good customer service, it usually brings people back. So, you know, they really want to go back to this wonderful place. Well, we are at the end of our adventure article. We do have a bit more there at the top where we learn about yaks, Pam.
Right. We talked about yaks, and I'm so glad we have a nice photo, a picture of them. They're very interesting looking animals. But let's look at the sidebar. Yaks are indispensable to those climbing Mount Everest. Each yak can carry between 90 and 110 pounds of supplies from the base. Indispensable just means you really cannot do without them.
You need them. Mm-hmm. And that is a nice photo there, and that's amazing that they are able to carry so much weight, right, Carolyn?
Yes, and the packs and the equipment and all of the supplies that you need to take with you on your trek up the mountain weigh a lot, so
yeah.
You need a yak.
So they're not using machines in this case. They're using animals to help carry all of that heavy equipment, which is very needed. Okay, well, we have learned a lot over the past 3 days, and we have more to learn next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. So we hope you will join us again then. And we hope that you have enjoyed this adventure article. And we hope you all go on an adventure. Maybe it's not this type of adventure, but some sort of adventure in the near future. I hope that you're enjoying your summer as well. Join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon.
This is Carolyn.
And Pam.
And we say goodbye.
Goodbye.